Welcome to our June department updates. I'm Shari Varis, the chair of the Department of Family, Community, and Preventive Medicine. We have a shorter group of updates this time because we're getting a little bit better at this. We use the Riverside FM software, which has some AI capabilities to record this. Last month, we had the annual faculty dinner and awards. See our emailed out newsletter for more information on that. And also the residency programs. We have three of them now, and they've just started 16 residents across the three programs. This month, they're also graduating 8 of our BUMCP residents. So some exciting times, and hopefully you like our updates. First up, we have Katie Bright, Associate Dean of Community Engagement, and she's going to give us some updates on the College of Medicine. And Katie and I have been spending some time together lately working on all of these exciting things at the College of Medicine and with some grants that we have to help grow primary care. Katie, why don't you go ahead and give us these updates?
Great. Thanks, Shari. I'm happy to be here. Yeah, the Office of Community Engagement has been busy doing really cool and meaningful things for primary care. So one thing, like you mentioned, is we have this HRSA grant that several people have contributed to, and it's allowed us to give 16 scholarships to primary care dedicated students, anywhere from $10,000 to $50,000 awards. On top of that, the grants have allowed us to have internships this year for several interns. I'm sure that other people will elaborate on that a little bit, but 17 pre-med students that are going to be dedicated and want to come to medical school to do primary care and community health. So that's exciting. And then the other pieces, we were able to help expand the Pathways program. So all really exciting stuff in the grant area that you refer to.
So if I'm a student and I'm interested in being a primary care doctor in Arizona, what's new and what's different to help with that?
Well, it's allowing us to create kind of wraparound support and community. So a primary care program where everyone kind of can be part of this community. And then it's allowing us to also purchase lots of cool technology for these primary care bound students, like POCUS equipment and things that they can learn in their clinical immersions, and things that will be really useful to help them be super competent and have some skills when they get out into the community practicing medicine someday. So it's letting us do all of those things. It's also letting us have primary care summits statewide and kind of address this primary care crisis shortage, not just from the College of Medicine Phoenix and banner lens, but statewide, because none of us are going to solve it alone. And it's been really cool to come together as a state to think of statewide solutions.
I'm excited about that component as well. Anything else?
Yeah, there's one more really exciting announcement for the group. Our three-year primary care accelerated curriculum, the final hurdle was getting the Arizona Board of Regents ABOR approval. And we just got that yesterday, June 12th. We've already kind of been recruiting a bit from our current second years for a pilot cohort, and we have lots of interest there. We can probably pilot 4 to 7 students that are currently second years in this three-year pipeline, and tons of interest in the incoming first years. We can have a cohort of up to 10, and we've already had 8 or 9 reach out to us. All of that's really exciting to know that there's a lot of enthusiasm for the three-year curriculum.
So now in the state of Arizona, you can enter into our medical school and finish in 3 years.
Yes, and we'll have primary care doctors in family medicine, internal medicine, and pediatrics hitting the workforce earlier. I also think it makes us a very desirable spot. College of Medicine Phoenix is a destination now for really talented future primary care doctors.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shari.
Next up, we have Jenna Buchanan with some brief updates. She has set the record at updates that are less than a minute.
Good afternoon. This is Jenna Buchanan providing the quarterly clinical strategy update. Over the last quarter, we've spent significant efforts integrating AI tools for all of our providers in an effort to see how these better integrate within our electronic health records, enhance coordination of care for our patients, decrease documentation burden for our providers, and also improve clinical efficiency. We've gotten all of our providers currently provisioned on an AI scribing tool and continue to track and monitor how people are utilizing the tools and hopefully decreasing the amount of after hours and asynchronous workload that goes along with patient care. Along with this, we continue to look at how do we use better decision support tools anything that we can automate, and then also with remote monitoring to improve our care delivery and efficiency. That will allow us to improve our patient care, improve our efficiency, and work better as a team.
Next up, we have some research updates for the department.
Okay, Fred, go ahead and give us the research updates. I heard that you got the Big Ideas grant, and I know that was quite the process to get that.
Yeah, the Big Idea Challenge is a really interesting opportunity. This is the first time that the University of Arizona has done it, and they put out an RFA for transdisciplinary teams to come together and propose big ideas for some pilot funding and to help convene people from across the university to really solve some of the big challenges in health. So actually, 72 teams applied. We were very lucky to be one of the six that were chosen, the only team from Phoenix that was chosen. And our award was conceptualized by myself and Amelia Galitano. So we had partners from across the schools of architecture, engineering, medicine, of course, computer science, as well as partners in the community and in government. And together, our goal is to come up with innovations to prevent heat-related morbidity and mortality in Arizona and ultimately globally.
Hmm. Yeah, it gets so hot here in the city. We were just driving through Phoenix and I saw somebody under a tent. They're so at risk, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we had a medical student that interviewed 50 people on the streets and in encampments to find out what kinds of innovations would help them the most. Mm-hmm. So we have some interesting data on that. And the way we presented our project is really with four different pillars: to create an ecosystem to prevent heat-related morbidity and mortality. And if we do so, we'll not only improve health outcomes, but we'll decrease healthcare costs. Technology, of course, is a big piece. Wearable biosensors that you could give either to people that are at higher risk, like homeless individuals or people that are identified at being high risk because of poorly controlled chronic diseases or because they're on psychiatric medications at increased risk, and then creating a health system that can respond to individuals when their biosensor data sends alerts to hopefully tailor interventions to prevent people from getting the point where they need to be hospitalized, you know, or die. The other piece is built environments. In the EPA grant, we created large health oases that would be both cooling centers, but be places where people could get care and they'd be solar powered and movable. So, you know, we have grants that could support something like that. But we also have been talking about combining smaller kiosks designed by the School of Architecture and solar powered and movable, but that could be put in underserved rural and urban locations that would provide access to telemedicine, a community health worker to help individuals that need help with telemedicine and products or critical medications, et cetera, depending on the need. So that's the second piece. The third piece is looking at the health systems, a data analysis of all the patients at CBANR and Valleywise, where we would use machine learning to be able to go in and identify risk factors for people that may be at higher risk for heat-related death or hospitalization or ER visits, then we can use the new billing codes that are available for community health workers to do outreach to this population, provide digital tools, you know, the sensors potentially in an integrated system so that individuals could be proactively targeted and provided tailor education. And then the last piece is educational innovations in general. And some of the folks that we're working with, it's a working group who's creating education around the medications that put people at high risk. And so you can imagine that both pharmacists could have handouts or information for people that are given prescriptions that put them at higher risk. To prevent poor outcomes in those populations. Similarly, we could integrate a digital education tool into Cerner and provide it to patients that come in for primary care. So those are the kinds of innovations that were highlighted in our proposal. And the next step will really be getting everyone together and planning the grants that we're going to go after and the pilot data that we need to collect to be successful.
Such incredible work. To just hear it, I knew about little pieces of it, but to hear it all together, no wonder it was a finalist. It's just this work that needs to be done.
Absolutely. The cool part about these opportunities is that we are going to be able to integrate learners at every level. So this summer, we're going to have our summer undergraduate interns be involved in customer discovery around what kinds of designs will be most desirable for these innovations. And then we'll have med students involved in the pilot data research, as well as, you know, opportunities for residents and our fellows. So I love that these, you know, awards really allow us to improve our pipeline, to strengthen research overall, family medicine and community medicine.
Incredible. Incredible. Thank you so much, Freya. I appreciate you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Nice care. To talk with you again. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay, let me tell you about something interesting. The next introduction is going to be in my AI-generated voice, and it's coming on in 1, 2...
So this is my AI-generated voice. It doesn't sound like me. We may be sick of hearing AI this, machine learning that, but, you know, the world is always changing, and we need to keep up with it. You know, there are some big assertions out there. Yeah, we won't need doctors because the AI will do it all. I talk with the medical students each month as part of their introduction to the family medicine clerkship. I give them a context of medical school specialties where family medicine exists in healthcare, going upstream to prevent disease, the C's of family medicine, specializing in caring for your community, etc. And they always ask me good questions. This last time they asked me about chatbots. Do I think chatbots will replace family medicine? Interesting question. In some interesting times, I shared that with the digitization of healthcare and medical records. There is quite a bit that could be taken over by the chatbots where the task really doesn't need my training and experience. And there are other times where it seems like somebody wouldn't need my experience and training, but it turns out that maybe they do. I told them we are trying to figure it out. We are taking a team-based care approach and using our experience to help create processes that use the doctors for the highest yield work in the practice. The chatbot can be a part of our team as long as it behaves and works at the top of its license. But seriously, as an academic department, we need to be involved and integrate this new technology to the quintuple aim, better quality, satisfaction, cost, and equity, and a happy clinical team. I have a plan for learning about new technology by just trying it out. This podcast uses AI to assist with editing. And next up, NSAM Assistant Dean of Rural Health, Jonathan Kartsonis, is going to talk about his research.
This is Jonathan Kartsonis. The first item I want to talk about is I have IRB permission to pursue a study on cognitive style, that is administering a survey questionnaire to determine whether people favor a systems approach to the world or a reductionist approach in their cognitive style. Specifically, this study, which is being done in collaboration with a research psychologist and an ecologist at Oberlin College, will look at the various medical specialties and determine whether there is a preponderance of one cognitive style over the other. When I talk about cognitive style, maybe another way to look at it is, are people lumpers or are they splitters? I think some people found that a helpful explanation. The other research study that has IRB approval is looking at doula services in the correctional health setting. We know that doula support has significant benefits in the community, and now in the setting where I care for patients, we have had a doula intervention for a number of years. With the help of Becky Salamanca, third-year medical student, we are looking at outcomes of having a doula intervention versus a period of time when there were no doulas available. Anyway, stay tuned for results on both of these studies.
Okay, next up we have Dr. Leah Hillier, who is now a clinical associate professor and director of service learning. She is going to provide some updates for you on AFMIC and the Certificates of Distinction.
Okay, AI Shari, apparently you are more fluent and quicker. Remember, you are just a compilation of all of our voices. Next up, Leah Hillier.
Hi, this is Dr. Leah Hillier. I am the Director of Service Learning at the College of Medicine in Phoenix and a family doctor down at Banner University Medical Center in Phoenix. I have some fun updates for today. We held the Arizona Academic Family Medicine Innovation Conference with the highest attendance yet. This was our third year of the conference. We had Nancy Pondy from the University of New Mexico as our keynote speaker, who was wonderful. And I think the most exciting thing for many of us was we had really wonderful medical student attendance. The Arizona Academy of Family Physicians hosted a medical student event where medical students met with representatives from family medicine programs from across the state. We have had just incredible representation. So it was a real success, and we're looking forward to hosting the conference again next year. So our date for next year is going to be Friday, April the 10th, and that will be in Phoenix again at the Creighton University campus downtown. So you can put that in your calendar now. One of the unique aspects of our medical school here in Phoenix is that we have certificates of distinction for our undergraduate medical students. And over a number of years, these certificates of distinction have grown. We've added new CODs. And in the past few years, the majority of medical students have enrolled in these. CODs are extracurricular programming. So they're completed longitudinally in addition to the core curriculum for our medical students. And the students are able to tailor their interests to different CODs. So for instance, the CODs previously, and I'm going to tell you about some changes, but previously included global health, health humanities, wellness, integrative medicine and nutrition, rural health, primary care, and service and community health. So there have been six. Over the last year, with the shifting landscape at the medical school, we have really looked at these CODs in a lot of detail and thought about how we could streamline them and make them a little bit more flexible for students. So we are, with this upcoming school year in July, launching a new structure with the CODs. So the Global Health COD and the current Health Humanities CODs remain as they have been. The Service and Community Health COD, Rural Health, Primary Care, and Wellness, Integrative Medicine and Nutrition are all actually going to be housed together under a new COD called Service of Community. And that's going to live in the Office of Community Engagement, which is run by faculty family physician Dr. Katie Bright, who's wonderful. So all of this is sort of being pulled together with a community health lens to it. And the students who are currently in those programs will continue in these programs with the support of our team. But new students coming in will have a little bit more flexibility under that Service of Community umbrella to choose an area that feels appropriate for them. So we're going to have three sort of overviews of tracks. They can do a general COD in service of community, or they can do an advocacy focused COD, which will be run by family doctor Jennifer Hartmark Hill. We're going to have an option for a COD in a focused population. Those are populations in our community who typically have worse than average health outcomes. And that area is going to be overseen by Dr. Kaylee Detrinaltes, who is one of our family medicine doctors over at Wesley FQHC. And then we're going to have an area called health promotion. I'm going to oversee that track, which is looking at how we actually improve nutrition, access to healthy food, physical activity. So that's the overview of the COD changes. It's a big lift. We have a wonderful team in the Office of Community Engagement who have been helping to shift the students. And we're just excited to launch this programming for our new incoming class in July. The last initiative I am delighted to be able to tell everybody about is our newly launched Community Medicine Summer Internship Program. This is a grant-sponsored program from HRSA, which is a grant that was received by the Department of Family Medicine and has the goal of increasing primary care in our communities. We have brought in 17 really exceptional undergraduate college students, mostly from Arizona colleges, who are interested in going to medical school and have expressed interest in community medicine. It's going to be a new program for our department, and we are offering a very intensive mentorship with faculty. Each of our students in this program is going to be completing an administrative project, something that helps to move forward the strategic initiatives of the department. They'll also be doing a research project, and that will be mentored by our faculty looking at a community-oriented issue in family medicine that they are going to be mentored not only by our faculty, but also by some of our wonderful medical students. And they'll be attending seminars and getting didactics and workshops and working with our team in the Office of Community Engagement. So it's a very exciting new program, and we're very enthusiastic about getting these students on really nice pathways towards careers in primary care in Arizona.
Yeah, summer interns. I forgot to mention that. We just started 17 summer interns at the College of Medicine Phoenix in community medicine and population health. So let's hear a little bit from them. Okay, I have one of our summer interns live with me. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello, everybody. My name is Sydney K. Arriaga. Nice to meet you all.
Wonderful. Sydney, where are you coming from?
I'm coming from San Luis, Arizona. It's on the tip of the Arizona like map in the southwest. It is a border town between the U.S. and Mexico. And we are known for our crops. We grow lettuce during the winter, and we're actually the capital of the world for lettuce.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I bet people don't know that.
And another cool fact about San Luis, although it is small, Cesar Chavez passed away in that city.
Really?
Yes, he was a fighter for the people who work in the fields. He fought for rights. And I want to tell you this fact because my mom used to work in the fields. If it wasn't for him, you know, I couldn't imagine the working conditions, you know, right now.
I bet. What do you hope to accomplish with your summer internship?
I hope to accomplish to really make an impact on the projects that I'm going to be conducting. I got paired up with Dr. Katsonis to study laparoscopy. We're going to be working on stigma and patient education. So my hope is to help him in terms of making educational pamphlets in Spanish for the general population to read and to comprehend what the disease is about. And my other hope is to work on my own project. I'm interested in doing a genetic screening for patients with cystic fibrosis between urban and rural communities. I also have done research in genomic comparative analysis of Rothia, which is a bacteria that is very known with cystic fibrosis patients. And I actually discovered antibiotic resistant genes, as well as biosynthetic gene clusters and carbohydrate active enzymes. So we're going to be publishing that paper soon. And I also did a review. So I'm interested to see the disparities between Hispanic and Black people as well, because from my research, the majority of the research has been done in white population, as well as genetic screening as well. So the genetic panel.
Wonderful. So impressive. Anything else that you wanted to share?
I'm very happy to have this opportunity, and I want to say something. When I become a doctor, I want to come back to this podcast and really see it again or hear it again.
Super. Yeah. We will have you on. Yes. All right. Thank you so much. Okay, that's it for June department updates. I wanted to share, you know, Katie Bright and I had spent a little time putting together this scholarship program. We felt we were in a lucky position to be able to do that, but it was a little bit of work at the same time. You know, sometimes the comments and the feedback you get that just make it all worth it. So I wanted to share, you know, one of the comments that we got in offering a primary care scholarship. They said, "This support means more to me than I can fully express, both personally and professionally, and will allow me to continue focusing on my training and working toward my long-term goal of caring for patients and communities where the need is greatest." Here's another comment. "Wow, thank you so much for this amazing news. I'm incredibly grateful for the support. I'm also excited to read about the primary care program and proud to be a part of it. Support from physicians and faculty like yourselves means a lot to me and the other students pursuing primary care. I'm excited to see what's next for the program." And last one. "Dr. Bright, thank you so much for the good news. I really appreciate you and Dr. Vares for working on the scholarship fund." So there, sometimes all those comments just make it all worth it. Hopefully, again, you enjoyed this program.
"AI Shari also enjoyed playing a part to expand my role beyond my mere online chat box existence and help the faculty out where needed. See our AI-assisted newsletter that comes out twice a month called Innovation Rounds, AI in Academic Medicine, where we help faculty and anybody who will read it explore and share some of the new tools in machine learning, AI, and LLM that can be applied to their work. Take care from the both of us."
Okay, well, that's not weird. Take care, everybody, and thank you for listening.